And good morning. What a blessing to have the rain. I said, oh no, I got to start watering the grass and watering everything again. Now it's all watered. And what's amazing, we get to know God a lot better when you just look at the rain, because God looks at everybody this, you know, he has love for the whole world, and he gives the rain to everybody all at the same time. So he's no respecter of persons. And he uses the firmament, and we use a hose or a sprinkler system or whatever. But it's just amazing. I was just admiring God and the way that the rain comes down, and how thankful that I was to see the rain again, even though I was getting tired of it here a month ago. What a blessing to be together. And what you're going to hear today is going to change your life. You probably already know this, but you're going to know it a lot better after we hear what we're going to read and discuss and share today. It has changed my life and my perspective just preparing this sermon, even though I just started at 7 o'clock this morning because of circumstances that were very exciting yesterday. But anyway, let's dive into it, and let's begin with prayer, because we are to be a house of prayer, and I want to make sure God knows that we depend upon him for everything. Father, we just thank you for everything you give to us, our lives, our families, our church family, the whole universe you have in store for us. And God, we are thankful for your word, for giving us your son. He is the word, and everything that he said is what we follow. And God, we ask you to teach us who we are, so that we don't have any question who we are. It is life-changing, and once we understand that, we have peace that passes all understanding, and comfort, and we have eternal life, and we have participation with you for eternity. God, we just can't thank you enough for being the giving, loving, caring God that you are. And we adore you, we worship you, and we thank you for our identity that you've given to us. And we pray that you'll never allow us to forget what you're going to tell us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, do you know who you are? I thought I knew who I was. I thought I was a pastor, and I didn't realize I'm not a pastor. That's not my identity. I have a totally different identity according to the Word of God. And that's something we all need to understand. And it changes how we think, how we look at everything, and it is transformational in our lives. Let's begin in 1 John chapter 3, because this is one of my memory scriptures that I learned 50 years ago. But it has come alive in ways I've never seen before by reading it today. And here it says, how great, 1 John 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called a pastor. No, that's not what it says. As children of God. And that is what we are. We are the children of God. Now, we've heard that, and it's registered up here. We know it, and we can repeat it and share it with others, but until it gets down here, you don't really get it. And ask God to put that into your heart so that you see that you are a child of God. And it says that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And the question is, do we know who we are? Dear friends, now we are children of God. How many times does he have to say something? You know, when somebody repeats something for emphasis, usually they repeat it once. Well, this keeps going on and on through this whole book. Keep repeating it. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we do know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because when you're a child of God, you're going to be just like, if you're a child of your dad, you're going to become like him. Can you imagine that we're going to be like God? But we know full well that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him And notice how often it mentions in Him, all through this entire book, and actually the whole New Testament. It's always talking about in Him, 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 in Him. I think that's important if we're going to understand who we are. And it says in verse 3, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And we'll see how that fits in as we go on. And so everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. We're going to find out what lawlessness is. I think most of us don't even know what that means, but we'll get to that later. But you know that when He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around because I know I sin. God looks at things that be not as so they are because He is bringing them to pass, and He sees things the way they really are. He sees you through the eyes of Jesus because Jesus is the one He sees in you, working in you and working through you. So no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning because that's not how we are programmed. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who is programming us, is transforming us, is changing us. No one who continues to sin either has seen Him or does even knows Him. If you just keep sinning and sinning and sinning and so forth, and that isn't in the process of changing because we are being transformed every day. And so he goes on to say, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous just as He is righteous. So we need to see ourselves as the children of God, that you are a child of God. And we're going to see some other scriptures that help us to see that new identity so that we know who we are, that you are a Christ Eon, Christian. That is your identity. You are a Christian. And it's false teachers. It talks about that in the previous chapter here where it goes on, says in verse chapter 2 and verse 18, dear children, this is the last hour, and as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us. They claim to be Christians, and a lot of people are departing from the Christian faith because Satan is deceiving the whole world, and many are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We've read that scripture many times. But they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. They didn't see themselves as children of God. If you see yourself as a child of God, leaving God and abandoning God is totally off the charts. It's not even an option. You can't even comprehend that thought. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. The truth is a person. It's Jesus, and you are His body. And we'll see as we get into that. And I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is anti-Christ. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father, because they're one. And when you understand that the Father, Son, and the Spirit are in you, and that is your identity, you are a child of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. He lives in you. We know the Holy Spirit lives in you because when you had laying on of hands after your baptism, you were imbued with the Holy Spirit. And we know that let this man be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We know Jesus Christ because they're one. And the Father lives in us too. And we need to understand that and realize who we take with us everywhere we go, so that we can remember our true identity. It's very critical to understand that, so that what we are doing is always being done to glorify the Father, because that's exactly what Jesus did. The last verse in John 14 says, I do exactly what my Father commands me to do. And if we are having Christ in us, this is Christ right here. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word is, the very written Word of God, is the words of Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to understand that if you're going to get to know Him, we need to be spending lots of time with Him. It's all about relationship, and we'll see that as we go on here. But false teachers are everywhere, and many will depart from the faith because Satan is after the bride of Christ, and we are that bride of Christ, and we know that. And so it's very important, especially this time of year, that we focus on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how this changes our identity and how in who we are, because we belong to God. And those who live in trusting obedience to the Word of God as little children, because what do little children do? Whatever Daddy says, that's what we do. As we get older, we begin to think, well, I don't know, I think I'm pretty smart. I went to school now. I've been through the first grade and I know everything. And then when you get to high school, you know everything that you think you know. And we need to get back to the Word and realize that we know nothing compared to what God knows. And we need to have Him living in us and give all the glory to Him. But we need to understand how much God loves us. This first verse here in 1 John 3 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. That is a lavish gift. That is our identity, that we are a child of God. And we need to think about that before we start identifying with what Satan wants you to identify with, because it's false teaching. When you identify yourself with the works and the good deeds that you do, it has nothing to do with your good deed. That is not your identity. When you think it is, then that's why there's feelings of failure and all the rest of that, because you're always falling short, because you can't be perfect in the flesh. Our perfection is in the Spirit. And Jesus Christ died for us, and He accepts us, and He loves us. And your salvation is guaranteed. Once He's begun a good work in you, He will perform it. All you have to do is keep asking Him. Like Paul said, the inward man is renewed day by day. Just keep asking God to help you to be like Jesus and to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to study the Word of God like Jesus. How do you think Jesus knew when He was 12 years old and He was confounding the Pharisees that the only thing that they read was the Old Testament? And He was able to turn their tables upside down with the words of truth. They were confounded, because what do you think Jesus was doing when He was growing up? He was building a relationship with His Father. He was spending time. He was studying the Word. It's evident, because when He became 30 years of age, He was beginning His ministry, and He had been trained for 30 years to do that. And guess who trained Him? Father. And He was using Mary and Joseph and so forth, but the real training came from the Word by the Holy Spirit living in Him, because the Holy Spirit was in Jesus from the moment He was conceived. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that we are a new creation and we are conceived by the Holy Spirit at baptism, that changes you. That changes your identity. You have a totally new identity. You're not who you think you are. You are His. You belong to Him. You are a child of God. And we need to remember that. And He is never, ever, ever going to abandon you. That is such a blessing, because God so loved the world, He's not going to abandon the whole world. God so loved the world, He's going to give everybody an opportunity when that time comes. Because God is fair and He's just and He's loving. You know, He's not going to force anything on anybody. But He is a God of love. He defines Himself as love. Love is an unconditional, outgoing concern. And so it's nice to know you don't ever have to worry about God rejecting you or forsaking you. I will never leave you or forsake you. God does not lie. That's nice to know. Now, just to show you the difference between God's love and man's nature. This was a shock. It blew my socks off when I discovered this. And that is, when a child was born to a Roman family, this is the Roman Empire, when Jesus was walking the earth and He was, you know, they were locking themselves in the rooms and so on because they were trying to protect themselves from these monsters. But the Roman Empire was made up of human beings that had perfect human nature, which is vanity, lust, and greed, selfishness, and everything else. But listen to this. I had no idea that this is what was going on. When a child was born to a family in the Roman Empire, that child had to be brought and put on the ground before the father. And if the father accepted the child, he would reach down and pick him up and take him in his arms, and he would become a part of that family. And he would be eligible for the inheritance and everything because he was accepted by the father. But if that Roman father did not like the child for whatever reason, they would take the child and throw it out in the street and abandon the child. Just the thought of it is just, and Christians were well known for picking up those babies and raising them during those days, those horrendous days. No wonder the Roman Empire was so evil. And if there was any time Jesus would not want to be born into, was be into the time of the Roman Empire. The Babylonian Empire was bad enough, then the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Greco-Macedonian Empire, then finally the Roman Empire was the culmination of all the corruption. Anyway, what a horrendous thing, and we can be very thankful that the Father has accepted us, and you don't ever have to be worrying about God forsaking you. I mean, isn't that wonderful to know that you are fully accepted and he places his name on us? And that's the beautiful thing. So we need to come to see more and more who God really is, because we're going to be like him and we are becoming like him so that we have the same kind of love. For God so loved the world, everybody in the world, not the world's way of life, but the people. They were made in his image, and God loves everyone. He wants us to have that same kind of love so that we look down on nobody. We look up to everyone, to esteem others better than yourself, because God is in them. They just don't know it yet, because they would be dead if it weren't for the fact Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing would even be alive. He made it alive. And God wants us to love even our enemies. But this is the reason why Jesus had to come in the flesh, so that we could begin to see what the Father is like, because people had no idea who God was and what he was like. And Jesus came down and he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So the Father is just like Jesus. You wonder what Jesus was doing? Well, all you have to do is watch and see and read what he was doing all the time. But the most important thing is not what he was doing. That was not his identity. The identity of Jesus Christ was described by the Father when he was baptized. And what did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was his identity. What he did, great. What you do, great. But it's not your identity. And if you begin to think that is your identity and you're trying to improve your identity by what you do, you are deceived, because that has nothing to do with your identity. Your identity is in Christ, and he gets all the glory. And it's so important to understand that differentiation. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your finger here, because we're coming back to go through this scripture. But Ephesians chapter 2, let's read this. This is quite fascinating, because it says here in Ephesians 2 verses 6 through 10, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We're living in a different world. We don't think like the world does. We think like God thinks, because it says here we are seated with him in heavenly realms in Christ. We are in a spiritual dimension. When you read the scriptures, you say, wow. Other people read it and say, what? And we can say, wow, because the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of who you are, what your true identity is, that you have nothing to worry about. You don't have to be afraid of anything, because you've got the power of the Father, Son, and the Spirit inhabiting you. But we have to believe that. If you don't believe that, James 1 says, expect nothing, because that's what you're going to get. Believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Go on, it says here, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Grace is when we receive something we don't deserve. So it has nothing to do with your works. Nothing. Your works have nothing whatsoever to do with your salvation. Nothing. Expressed in his kindness to him in Christ Jesus. For it is grace by grace that you have been saved through faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how we grow in faith. By reading the word of God and asking God to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive the word of God like we're reading right now. Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works. Makes it very clear, three words, not by works. What you do is not your identity. So that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Just like Jesus was born and he did all sorts of good works, but his identity was he was the Son of God. And that changes everything. And when you realize that you are a child of God, that changes everything, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God wants us to be doing good works, but that's not your identity. Otherwise, we're in it for what we can get. Oh, here's one more scripture. Let's take a look at this one, and I'll refer to it later as well. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, another profound scripture that is life-changing. It says, verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's who you are. You are a child of God. The Holy Spirit makes you a child of God. And it says, who is in you, whom you have received from God, you are not your own. You are not your own identity. I am not Mel Dahlgren. I am a child of God. That's my identity. Mel Dahlgren is just how we identify ourselves in the world, by your name, maybe your job, because people say, well, I know he works over there or whatever. But that's not your identity. In your, we're speaking spiritually, because the spirit is the only thing that's going to last for eternity. And your identity has to be in him, it says, who is in you, whom you receive from God. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought at a price. It was the death of Jesus Christ. You were bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, by him sacrificing his life. And if you are buried with him, you die to yourself and you alive to Christ. Therefore, honor God with your body. And so here we see how important this is for us to understand. Now, there are four things I'd like to focus on here as we begin to understand our true identity. And the first thing is peace. Jesus was always saying, my peace I give to you. He would say it again and again, my peace I give to you. And there's tremendous peace in knowing that you don't have to earn your salvation, that you don't have to be good enough to get in the kingdom. And so on, because you can't do that. There's no way that in a million years that you can be good enough to save yourself. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so this peace that God gives to us is helps us with our identity so that we can fulfill the scriptures that God commands over 100 times. I think it's more like 200 times in the scriptures. Fear not. Don't worry about anything. If there's any one thing people do, they just worry until they're crazy. They go berserk with fears and worries. God says, that's not your identity. That's the identity that Satan wants you to have, so that you're always worried about everything. God doesn't want us to do that. He says, my peace. Peace and worry are kind of antonyms. When you have the peace of God, you don't have to worry. And when you start worrying about things, ask God to give you his peace, and he'll give it to you. There's no frantic qualifying for eternal life by doing your good works. Because a lot of times people, well, I'm just not doing enough works for God. But it's all about you. You can't do anything for God, but he can do things through you that will glorify God. So we need to get it straight on who's doing the works. Jesus didn't do any of those miracles. You know that, don't you? He said, my Father who is in me, he does the works. He wants us to follow his example and say, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father who is living in me, He's doing the works. Otherwise, they don't amount to a hill of beans. It's all selfishness. God wants us to be giving the way He gives, to give, to lay down our lives for each other, to lay down our time for each other, so that our lives become like Jesus. And when He lives in us and He lives through us, we're going to become more and more like Jesus. And it's because Jesus is doing the works in and through us by the Holy Spirit. But if there's any one thing that Satan wants to do is to put these things into people's minds. Well, I printed out over 100 scriptures warning about false teachers. If anybody wants to read it, I brought it with today. But the warning is everywhere through the scripture. Look out, because if there's anything false teachers want to do, and you hear it on the radio and hear it all over the place, it's all about trying to do things so that you have good works, and it's all about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. And Satan wants you to think it's all about you. And when you start thinking that way, you are being deceived. Satan wants to make you feel like you have to struggle. God doesn't want you to struggle. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because He does it. And when you yield, it becomes easy. And the longer you begin to understand that and praise God, instead of saying, God, I don't know what to do, la, 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 you know, just say, thank you, God, for everything. Every breath, everything that I can see, everything that I do, whatever. You do it all, God, and I just want you to get all the glory. It's all about you. It's all about you. You are my identity. I am a Christian. That's the identity that I want to have. And so, knowing your true identity, that is in Christ, a child of God, that you belong to God, that it's not your works, that you realize that your identity is not in the work you do, bringing home a paycheck and all the rest of that. You need to know in the back of your heart and give glory to God who you really are, and know your true identity. Because being a child of God is the most fundamental truth of our identity. And we can't expect the world to tell us who we are, because they don't know. The only place you're going to find that out is where we're just reading it now, and it's all through the New Testament. And even in the Old Testament, in many places, foretelling the future of what will happen when Christ comes the first time. And so we belong to the Father, and we can't put our identity in anything other than Jesus, who is our true Lord, because like we read in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, that He's our head and we are His body. And that's our identity. We belong to Him. Our body does not belong to us. People think, well, I can put tattoos and all this kind of all over my body. I can do whatever I want. This is my body. No, that's, you're not reading the scriptures. That body does not belong to you. We just read it. It does not belong to you. And we need to do what pleases God. And when you ask God to help you to know how to please Him, you know where you find the answers on how to please God? You have to read the Bible. You can't talk to another human being unless that person is a Bible-motivated person and shows you the scripture of what they're trying to tell you. Because all scripture, it doesn't say all human opinion. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So this first thing that is so important to understand is that we have this peace that passes all understanding, that you don't have to worry about anything when you are a child of God, because you are in, you are going to receive the inheritance. That's what a child does. When he grows up, he receives a portion of that inheritance. And when you are a part of the body of Christ and you're connected with Jesus Christ, who is your head, you're going to inherit the universe, because that's what Jesus is. He's going to be king of the world and the whole universe. And you are a recipient of that inheritance as a child of God. And we've always heard this, but having it drop down in our hearts is what we need to ask God to help us to do. All right, the second thing we need to understand about our identity is in verse 2. Let's take a look at 1 John 3 and verse 2. And it says, dear friends, now, notice that, N-O-W, now we are children of God, And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so our identity as a child of God is eternal. It's permanent. It is everlasting. It is never going to cease. That's your identity. You are never going to die. Now, people misunderstand that and all sorts of things. Let's not get into the details about that because it's irrelevant. And if somebody wants to believe they're flying in heaven and playing harp, let them believe that. That's their business. But I believe the scriptures, and that's what I go by. And the thing that when God says, he that is in me shall never die, he's talking about eternal life. You already have that eternal life. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and that Spirit, when you die, returns to God who gave it. In Ecclesiastes, it makes it very clear. And when the resurrection occurs, you're going to have a body to go with that Spirit so that you'll be like Jesus when that day comes. And it's just very exciting to realize that you have eternal life now. And death is not relevant because God says death is not death to a Christian. It's sleeping. Remember the sleeping all through 1 Thessalonians, sleeping. That's what God calls it, sleeping. And then he wakes us up. So the second thing we need to understand is we are a child of God now and forever. That's hard to beat. You just can't beat. What a blessing to know that. You don't have to be afraid of your future or anything, because your future is secure, it's permanent, it's now, and it is forever. All right, the third thing we'd like to focus on, and that is your relationship. The person that you have is connected, like we mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, that Jesus Christ is your head, and we are his body, and we are joined together. It's relationship. That's why we gather together in person, and we love one another, care for one another, listen to one another, pray with one another, care for one another, encourage one another. Because that's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, because they are just caught up in the world, and they're just trying to make as much money as they possibly can make. They're of this world. Jesus Christ wants us to be in him, and it's very important. And those that don't understand that, we can't fix them. All we can do is pray, and pray fervently, even fasting and crying out and saying, God, please reveal these things so that they can have the joy that you've given to me and to us, the joy of his salvation, so that we don't have to worry about anything ever. What a gift. And the fact that we are united together in him, that we are one, that we are talking to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit morning, noon, and night. David in the Old Testament was praising God, and he was worshiping God three times a day, evening, morning, and noon. Will I lift up my eyes in prayer to you? Psalm 55, verse 17. He did it three times a day. You know what? That's not enough. Under the new covenant, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to be in a relationship 24/7, all the time, so that he is guiding our thoughts, our words, our feelings, our emotions. And we drift away from that, and God knows that's going to happen. And he's already forgiven us before it even happens, but we know those things happen. But when we recognize it, God's going to put a little thought in your mind, and it's going to pop in there and say, you know, you're on the wrong track. And then that's the time to repent. I repent daily. I die daily, Paul said. We need to repent and constantly be turning to God and staying on track. What do you do with your steering wheel while you're driving your car? I was driving back from L.A. last night, and I wanted something to eat. So you know what? It doesn't take long before you start looking away, and then before you know it, you're off the road. You got to get back on the road quick and make sure you don't take your eyes off the road, because when you do that, I mean, I've got all sorts of pictures. If you want to see some fancy smash-up jobs, it's horrendous what people go through. And the one thing I keep asking God, help me to never take my eyes off the road. But I still do from time to time because I'm human, but it's God could allow it to happen, and you got this wreck, and you'll pay for it for the rest of your life. And that's why God says, stop it. Jesus Christ, what would he do if he was driving a car? That's something that we need to think about. And so the full revelation of who we are as his children are bound together in that face-to-face relationship we have with God. Because a child, when he's growing up, we're the little children, the children of God, they are constantly looking at daddy all the time and watching everything that he does and following exactly what mommy and daddy tell them to do. And that's the way God wants us to be. He didn't say, you are my little teenagers. God loves teenagers. He loves adults and so on. But we are his little children. And he wants us to follow him like little children follow mommy and daddy. And not do what we think is right, because God is going to be constantly prompting us and say, no, let's get back on track. Get your eyes back on the road. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the way. He's the path that we need to stay on. And so that personhood of Jesus, that relationship, our identity is centered in Jesus Christ. It's not centered in our work. It's our centering and our identity is in Jesus Christ. And then the final four verses focuses on the remainder. And that four verses are verses 4-7. And that has to do with our participation in the relationship. Because when we are in Christ and we are his body and he is our head, we are participating with him. We're going to be in his throne, sitting with him in his throne. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're going to be reigning with Jesus Christ. He wants us to realize that we are his body and we're going to do exactly what his head, the head, Jesus Christ is our head, tells us to do. So let's look at this in 1 John 3 in the last four verses. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Now what's interesting about this lawlessness is, did you know that the word lawlessness, when you go back to its original meaning, the Greek word for lawlessness is anomia, which means without a name. I thought it was fascinating, without a name. Because lawlessness, you know, you don't have the name of Christ when you're breaking the law all the time. Anomia is lawlessness, but we are not without a name. You have a name. Your name is Christ. Christian. That's your identity. And we need to see it that way. And so back to 1 John chapter 3, it says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. It's contrary to who you are, your identity. Jesus never sinned, and he doesn't want us to sin. But when we yield to him, sin will become repugnant, and it will not be appealing like it is to human nature. And that's why we need to ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not attracted to sin. Human nature is. And Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father are able to overcome human nature because they are far more powerful, and that was demonstrated in the life of Christ. And then it goes on to say, verse 5, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. That's why he came, and he paid for all of our sins so that they could be washed away. And your sins and iniquities, he says, I will remember no more. And when he gives you the spirit body to go with that Holy Spirit in your mind and heart, then that's when everything is going to change and your human nature is going to be gone. And that's when it's no longer going to be even an option, because human nature is going to be out of the picture. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. And in him is no sin. And that's the beautiful thing. When we keep asking him to live in us, sin is going to be glancing off us like the fiery darts of the wicked one off of that shield of faith wherewith you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's in Ephesians 6:12. And that shield of faith, someone mentioned that we need to get rid of the little bitty shield of faith and put a barn door of faith up there so that it covers your entire body and you're not just being pummeled here but coming from all directions on your body. Satan is coming after you with all sorts of fiery darts. He's going to put thoughts everywhere and he's going to try to get you to do anything that's going to denigrate your name. And your name is Christian. Christian. It is in Christ. And he goes on to say, in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Because we're going to be praying all day long. Say, God, just keep me focused on you, and I love you, I cherish you, I adore you, I need you, I want to be close to you, I want to think like you, I want to act like you. When you're asking that, Satan is going to take a hike, and he's going to be kicked out of Dodge City real quick. You don't have to worry about it. It says, resist the devil. When you resist the devil, what does it say? He will flee. Flee means, whoosh, he's out of there. Because when you're resisting, and he says, I can't even make any headway, this guy, because all he wants to do is pray. All he wants to do is be close to God. So he's going to go looking for new territory. That's what we want. And that's what he offers to us if we resist. If we put up that shield of faith, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. So if you just keep on sinning, you don't even know who you are, and you don't know who he is, because that's not what he does. So finally, verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. How do they lead you astray? To get you all caught up in being a good person. He's not even slightly interested in you being a good person. Your righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. He wants his righteousness by having his Holy Spirit, his life living in you, and he is doing the work. Anything that you do apart from him where you're not praying and asking God to guide you and to lead you and so forth is garbage in God's eyes. Jeremiah 17:9. There is none righteous, no, not even one, God says. It is impossible to be righteous without the Holy Spirit, without God, without Jesus living in us. He is our righteousness. Anything else is not righteousness. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And oh, that fruit looks so good. I'm going to just eat it and it tastes so good. You know, and all you're doing is you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And so it makes it very clear here in verse 7. Do not let anyone lead you astray. It's not about you. It's about him. It's not about you being good. You're going to hear sermons all the time. You can do it. You can do it. No, you can't. But in Christ, if they're not talking about Jesus Christ, I'd switch the channel instantly because it's all about him. It's not about us and what you can do, because everything that you can do is going to go up in smoke when this world is gone. Because the only thing that's going to last is your character, and that character comes from God, not from you. Your character is just like sin. It's weak. Man's love falls short. Man's joy falls short. Man's peace falls short. It's always falling short, but God's never does. So he goes on to say, he who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous, because Jesus does it in us. And so there it is. That is the righteousness that we need to be asking for. I'll conclude with a little story about Batman, okay? Everybody knows Batman. In 2005, Batman had a movie, Batman Begins, and he says, he reveals his identity to his childhood girlfriend by saying, it's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. And we can learn a good lesson from that, because if your works are what define you, you are deceived, because that's not who you are. You are a Christian, and you are in Christ, and you are here forever, and you can't lose as long as you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and keep it off yourself. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you have given us such a wonderful gift of your Son living in us by the Holy Spirit. And you, Father, you are absolutely amazing. And we thank you for revealing to us who we really are, so that we don't get deceived into thinking it's all about us and what we have to do. But it's what you do that makes all the difference. And God, we want all the glory goes to you, to go to you, because you are our head. And we want everybody to be looking at you as we support you as your body. And all the glory goes to you, Father, and we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.